There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
The Channel is a giving circle focused on advancing LGBTIQA+ causes through grant rounds. The grants give LGBTIQA+ community projects a chance to use their voice and tell their stories. Tonight, we speak to the Channel's Executive Director, Georgia Matthews, about their first ever small grants round, Diverse Storytelling, which will offer four grants of $2,500 each to standout projects that best support the LGBTIQA+ community. The winning applicants will be awarded for projects that are community-led and focus on marginalised groups and the issues that they face.
The Channel is a collective giving vehicle for the LGBTQI community in Australia. So we're the first LGBTQI+ giving circle in the country. The members sign up, make a monthly or annual donation, and we pool the funds, and then together through a democratic decision-making process decide where to distribute those funds in the form of grants for LGBTQI+ community projects. Our latest funding opportunity, this is our fourth grant round and as our first small grants round. So the theme is diverse storytelling. So we've got a sort of a funny structure for some boring reasons. So we wanted to give our members who contribute to the pool of funds the option of getting a tax deduction for their giving or foregoing that tax deduction so that their giving could be more flexible. So we have two funds. One, you get a tax deduction, and then we can only distribute those funds to tax deductible not-for-profit charities. Or if members choose to forego their tax deduction, we can distribute those funds to individuals, startups, random projects that are happening around the place. It's much more flexible. And we sort of wait until we've got sort of a critical mass of funding in any one of those pots, and then we run around to distribute that money. So the last couple of rounds, we've distributed some tax deductible funds. So they've gone to more established organisations that have the infrastructure that allows them to accept that money. But this round is coming out of the non-tax deductible pot. Often that means that small grants are sort of more suited to the sorts of opportunities that come through because they don't have to be organisations that don't have tax deductible status. They can have it. But generally, this encourages individuals that have got a good idea but aren't able to access sort of traditional funding sources to come forward and apply for funds because there are very few requirements. So we thought we had about 10 grand in that pot this time around, and we thought it would be fun to do four grants of $2,500 for anybody who's got, you know, a really great sort of community project that they've been wanting to do or that needs a little bit of injection of funding to make it a success. We've funded a project that works with queer people that have had an out-of-home care experience to advocate for better servicing of their needs called Pride in Care. We've funded social change virtual reality documentary called A Clever Label, which exposes the detrimental effects the Australian Christian lobby have had on the LGBTQI+ community historically. Our most recent grant went to Northgate Innovation, which is a sort of human-centred research and design lab, to do a project called Velvet Expressions, which explored the experiences of LGBTQI people with intellectual or physical disabilities accessing sexual pleasure and how design can assist them with those experiences. So that's our little portfolio.
When you're talking about the tax deductible grants versus the ones that have a bit more breadth, is there a specific area that the funding needs to be spent on in relation to the project? And are there specific required outcomes of these projects?
Yeah, sure. Again, this is part of an educational and engagement process with our members. So I think that sometimes philanthropic funders can lean towards wanting to fund programmatic costs only, so wanting to fund the particular activity, the thing that leads to the particular outcome that's quantifiable, and they can point to that and they can say, I resourced that thing happening and therefore X occurred. But, you know, logically we all know that that's not how community work happens. There needs to be people that make the activities happen. There needs to be bills paid. There needs to be, you know, strategic planning that occurs. There needs to be professional development, et cetera, et cetera. So a big part of the conversations that we have with our members around, you know, what we want to be looking for in project proposals is capacity to deliver the project and thinking about the size of the grant that we're giving and whether we're setting people up for failure. So we really focus on, that's why we have listed that we're happy to fund sort of capital costs and operational spend and those sorts of things, because from our point of view, all of that contributes to the outcome. Then in terms of being able to identify our impact, we, again, something that's so great about collective giving is that our memberships start at $25 a month, so that's $300 a year. And a lot of people, if they're giving at that level alone, they can't really justifiably ask the recipient of those funds to report back on exactly how they were spent. If they did, then that is all not-for-profits would do, to report back on every sort of $100 donation that they received. But giving together and giving, say, $10,000 together, it actually is justifiable to sort of ask for evidence of impact of that money. And so, you know, I'm very conscious, and our members are very conscious of not overburdening recipients, but we do ask for a progress report at the six-month point and then an acquittal report at the 12-month mark. And we also encourage interaction and, you know, attendance at events and those sorts of things from the not-for-profit organisations, which is sort of a part of, one, people being able to see the impact of their funding, but two, you know, just that community building element and just bringing people from different walks of life together.
And Georgia, for these submissions, you're asking people to submit a short 2-minute video accompanied by some written questions. Does the video have to be done with professional equipment, or can it have more of a lo-fi approach?
Yeah, so because this is our first small grants round, we decided that we wanted the expression of interest submission process to be really quick and easy, because we realised that $2,500, you know, isn't really enough to justify filling out reams and reams of paperwork. So we're asking for a video under 2 minutes, as you say, and then just a couple of quick written responses to some questions. And we're really stressing in our guidelines that we don't want people to spend any money on editing or producing that video. We're really looking for lo-fi submissions that are shot on your phone. And that's because we think that quite quickly it can become an equaliser if we're, you know, allowing people to shoot things on fancy cameras and, you know, have the resources to put a lot of time and effort into their proposal, when really we just want your video to communicate really well what the project you want to do and to show a little bit of creativity. That's all you need to do.
What about for people who might not be sure if the project that they want to propose or their experience is enough to be able to step up and apply for a grant? Is there any advice for people who might be new to working in this sort of area?
Sure. My advice is that you definitely are not too inexperienced. That doesn't exist. We're looking for innovative projects that can come from anybody, anywhere. And when we say diverse storytelling, that's really what we mean. We're looking for people from all corners of the nation, from all backgrounds, especially people from marginalised LGBTIQ plus communities. We'll certainly be looking more favourably upon projects from different segments like that. And yeah, just give it a go. You know, you don't have anything to lose. And you could just get $2,500 to make something really cool happen. If you want to vote on where the funding goes, you can join as a member of the channel. As I said before, memberships start at $25 a month and everybody gets one vote no matter what you contribute. So get on board.
All right, that sounds great, Georgia. Is there anything else you'd like to say in terms of anything that usually stands out in past submissions that you'd be really looking out for this year?
I think strong submissions are one that have really thought through the community impact that they're going to have. So it is a requirement that the projects benefit the community and not just an individual. Ones that have been thought out well, and that if it is something that has got some evidence base around it, then understanding that and communicating the fact that we know it works is also really helpful.
That was Liv and myself speaking with Georgia Matthews from the channel. For more information, head to www.the-channel.org and go to their grants section to apply.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.